Well, hello and welcome again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Washing Word. The Washing Word is our hand car washing business located in Church Hill on Highway 11W. We are in the Palace Shopping Center, and if you're in the area, just come on by and let us hand wash your vehicle, and you'll walk out of here with a good car. And you could also turn on 107.1 FM in the parking lot and hear some good solid verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We created this business because we believe that the word of God needs to go out, and it needs to go out in every possible venue that we possibly can. So we put it out from our business, and we're about to start a new book. We just finished the book of Jonah, and we're going to go ahead and start the book of 1 Corinthians. And it should take us quite a while to go through it, but you are welcome to join me every day at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH, and that's the local station here, 1260 a.m. radio. We go verse by verse. We cover all of the Bible. We cover all of the chapters, all the verses, and you know, we just encourage you to keep coming by because we know the Word of God is it's life changing, and so come on into the Washing Word. You know, go over to the website at washingword.com. You can listen to these messages and download some archived ones, and everything's for free. Remember, we started this business so that we can minister the Word of God into the public. So that being said, let's just go ahead and get right back into it. We don't want to use these spots for commercials. We want to use them to bring forth God's Word in all of its entirety. So to begin in 1 Corinthians, we're going to turn over to Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to go ahead and read that first. Book of Acts, verse 1 through 5, chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now, that cursory reading of Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, sets up where we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians. In that opening reading, you got a brief history of how Paul made his way to Corinth. Sort of a summary version, but he gets there and he leaves Athens. And when he arrives, he meets Priscilla and Aquila, who are, like him, tent makers. And so he stays there. He works with them during the day. He heads into the synagogue on Sundays or Saturdays, I should say. And he reasons with them in the synagogue. So Paul's he's trying to, just gently give them the gospel, gently reason with them who Christ is. So he goes to the synagogues and he reasons with the Jews, trying to persuade them that Jesus was the Messiah they were waiting for. But I like what it says that Paul did the moment Timothy and Silas arrived. Did you catch that? It says in verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching. And so they come and they bolster him. Not only that, but he wants to show these young pastors, Silas and Timothy, what it means to be a strong leader, to be a strong preacher, to be unashamed of the gospel. And so he immediately devotes himself, it says, exclusively to preaching. In other words, Paul's done reasoning. He's done trying to rationalize with the Jews. He's done trying to persuade them. He's done with the careful placement of his words. Now it's time to get real. Look, you've been given the gospel. You've been given the truth. Now you need to make a decision. And Paul just sort of goes, does this light switch conversion from the way he was preaching to the way he started once Silas and Timothy showed up. And I think there's some application there, because I think there comes a point in every Christian's life when they kind of turn a corner. You know what I mean? A time when they the reasoning stops. A time when the bartering stops. In your own life, in your own mind, how guilty are we of reasoning the thoughts that we have and bartering with the things that we do? And I hope that each Christian eventually gets to that point in their life where they're done with the reasoning and they're done with the bartering, when that old life and the new life in Christ cease to do battle and you are submitted completely to Jesus. I mean, that is the goal, isn't it? To turn the corner on your own self-will and become slaves to Christ. And Paul, in a way, did the same thing. He just stopped with the reasoning, and he did what the Word of God was supposed to do. He created a line in the sand. You know, he reasoned with him. He gently, you know, tried to persuade him. He gently placed his words, all that, so that he could draw a line in the sand and say, okay, now you need to choose. Now it gets real. No more dancing around the subject. Jesus Christ was the Messiah. You need him for the forgiveness of your sins, or you will spend eternity apart from God in a place they call hell. And for Paul here in Corinth, it wasn't like that. He wasn't preaching truth or preaching boldly, but when his proteges showed up, when he realized that his pupils were there, well, all of a sudden, Jesus Christ and the gospel became the only thing that mattered. It was a defining moment for him at that time, I believe. And why bring this up? Because I believe that this book will offer us some chance to turn that corner, that we'll be offered the opportunity over and over again to lay aside some of those weights and entanglements that have held us up for far too long. And if you will let it, I believe that 1 Corinthians can educate you, encourage you, and edify you. Now, just some real quick history about Corinth. It was a very popular city. It was located on a peninsula, and so a lot of places had to travel through it in order to get to places they need to go. So it was a booming city. It was a city of great importance. A lot of merchant trading was going on there. And it was a pleasure city as well. It was much akin to, you know, people nowadays taking off to Vegas for a weekend or for a week. You know, we're heading off to Vegas. Vegas is synonymous as a pleasure city. And that's a lot like Corinth was in that day. They worshipped sex. In fact, the goddess Aphrodite was the ruler of that city. Their temple had 10,000 prostitutes in it at any given time. And there were lewd acts committed right in the streets. And people would just walk by and not even bat an eyelash. Now, they had many gods, mostly Greek gods. Among them, they worshipped Atlas and Poseidon and Achilles. And so they were well steeped in the Antichrist spirit would be the best way to describe it. And we should always remember that, you know, whatever corruption or moral decay that we're experiencing in this world, you know, in our environment, in this country, it's not new, and it certainly isn't original. Heinous acts of immorality have been going on since Sodom and Gomorrah and Cain and Abel. And with the exception of the conduits that we have for sin now, i.e. the internet, the sins of moral and social wickedness are nothing new to the depravity of mankind. So, don't think that we are in a state that has yet to be experienced under God. Listen, we're no better and no worse than some of the old towns that were as against, you know, old nations that were against God, like Corinthians. I heard it said recently that if Jesus doesn't do something with America, then he will owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. The golden age of philosophy was actually born in the city of Corinth. Greek philosophers such as Socrates, Plato, even Aristotle were all born in this area. And they would love to gather. They would love to debate. This is why Paul used that type of preaching and teaching when he would get together with them, because that's how they learned best, through debate and philosophizing. I'm going to move for a falafel all of a sudden. They were I don't know what that word is. They like to philosophize. All right. At this point, I would like to put a philosophy joke in here, but I don't think I need to anymore. Anyways, to sum that up, what we have in that city is the pride of human knowledge and understanding. We have sexual lust, the pride of sex and the pride of human knowledge and understanding. It's like the two biggest draws away from Jesus. And so Paul goes there. He spends about 2 years there along with Aquila and Priscilla. They started a church in their home, and he was quite affected. Many people came to the knowledge of Christ through what Paul had been doing there. And, you know, if you, I don't know how familiar you are with where we are in Paul's missionary story, but he had recently been driven out of Thessalonica by his own people. And so when he comes to this place, he has what has to be described as sort of a divine encounter by meeting up with Aquila and Priscilla. And they start this three-person church, and from that church grows a large and flourishing church that Paul started with just three people. So what is the point? Well, the point is that one man, one person, in obedience, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, started talking about Jesus, and look what happened in that place. And so we should take with us the fact that, you know, we don't have to create giant churches. We don't have to go out and set out to save the world. Let's just get together with a small group of people, maybe just your friend at work, and start sharing the gospel. Start gathering together again for prayer and for Bible study and for fellowship. God will do the rest. God will grow it if that's what he chooses to do. We have to get back to the most important thing, and that is intimate human contact and fellowship, something that is becoming more and more lost in our modern internet society. So we need to get out there, get a little bold, get a little courageous, start sharing this gospel, because the world needs it. Listen, I understand that living together as followers of Christ is going to be a challenge. But we're not called to live, you know, we're not called to a life of comfort. We're called to a life of calling, and that is to call upon the name of Jesus, to spread the word of God. In the Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. "What makes you think you can walk in here and take over?" asked Linus. "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" asks Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Well, listen, I know it's hard to be organized, hard to be close-knit in this society. But unity is achieved through all members or components being focused upon one common thing. So if we make Jesus the one common thing, it'll be a lot easier to reconnect this human relationship that has become all but extinct in our society today. Well, that's just part one of the introduction to 1 Corinthians. We'll finish our introduction and see if we can't get into chapter 1 in our next study. In the meantime, we encourage you to go to washandword.com if you want to hear these and other messages. Come out to 415 Old Union Street in Church Hill to Abundant Life Fellowship. There I'm preaching Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Also invite you to come in at 10:30 for service. Other than that, we hope to see you down at the Washing Word, and have a blessed day.